And turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You'll find some Bibles in the pews if you didn't bring one with you. During these Sunday evenings, when the students at Fried Hartman are not with us, and our audience is such that we can meet in the main part of the auditorium, I've chosen to use some lessons on the flannel graph board, lessons that I think can help us to remember some very important ideas. Tonight we're dealing with the subject of faith. These lessons that we're using may be just a bit shorter than some of the others that we use, and yet I suggest to you that there are some very important ideas that are being presented that we need to understand and carry with us throughout the year. I'm not for sure that there is any subject that is more important than the subject of faith. I appreciate the songs that were selected a few minutes ago and the way we sang those songs about the subject of faith. The Bible definitely teaches us that we are saved by faith. Romans 3:28 shows that we're justified by faith. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 points out that salvation is through faith, that we are to understand the Word of God, that we might, through faith, have salvation. James 2 talks about faith and helps to explain it in a deeper sense as to what's involved in it. And certainly the subject of faith is very, very important. I suggest to you tonight, however, that faith is sometimes a misunderstood subject. There is such a thing as a blind faith. There is such a thing as a false faith, or a faith in something that is false, for there is no real ground and real foundation to give us the faith that is needed. And so we need to understand what is involved in the subject of being saved by faith. I think most of you are familiar with the 11th chapter of Hebrews and realize that it is sometimes referred to as the faith chapter of the Bible. It is a chapter that is also sometimes called the Hall of Fame, in that there are many, many men and women of Old Testament times mentioned in this chapter, references made to them, and the one thing that each of them has in common with the others is the idea of faith. Time and time again throughout the chapter, and you might just let your eyes glance through the chapter and look at the first two words in many of the verses. Time and time again, the verse starts out, by faith, or through faith. I don't know of anywhere that we could go to find out what God thinks is involved in this idea of something being done by faith than the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Whatever is being talked about in this subject, or in this chapter, is talked about from the standpoint of the subject of faith. There is not time tonight. It would be too much for us to try to mention every person who is referred to in this chapter. I have chosen four well-known Old Testament characters to which reference is made here. And I want us to look at what is said in the main sentence in the verse or verses referring to these four characters. And I would remind you that Romans 15:4 says, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Which means that as we go back and look at these examples and remind ourselves of these examples of Old Testament times, we're learning principles that can help us to have comfort, to have patience, and to have hope in the right relationship with God. The four that I have chosen tonight for us to think about are, number one, Abel. You can notice, if you're looking at Hebrews 11, that he is mentioned about verse 4. Noah is mentioned a little bit later, about verse 7. Abraham is mentioned, I believe, verse 8. And Moses is mentioned down later in the chapter in the 20s at about verse 24 and 25. We want to look at these four Old Testament characters tonight as we look at the subject of being saved by faith. Now, as you look at verse 4, notice the first three words, by faith, Abel. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And verse 24, by faith, Moses. Let's put those two words up here to the left of these four characters and complete that part of the sentence in each of these verses. Now, if you were talking with someone who emphasizes the idea of being saved by faith, surely they would agree that we are studying on the subject. Because the Bible simply says, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses. Certainly whatever is being discussed in these verses is on the subject of faith. But let's read these verses, just read them directly from the Word of God, and notice something else that is said. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I'm sure that most of us in the audience tonight could relate the story of Cain and Abel. We could tell about their bringing something to offer to God. We could explain how Abel was approved and Cain was not approved. And we could learn several lessons by going into the details of the principles surrounding that story. But I want you to concentrate on one word tonight as we think about Abel. He says, by faith, Abel offered. He tells us that he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And go back to the Old Testament, we learn a little bit more about what he offered. But the point in our lesson tonight is not to get into the detailed discussion of what he offered or what was involved in that offering, but simply to look at this direct statement, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God than did Cain. When we look at Noah in verse 7, by faith, Noah, now leaving out the phrase that is between those two commas and looking at the main part of the sentence, verse 7 says, by faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house or his family. That's the main body of the sentence that is there. The phrase that comes in between the word Noah and the word prepared is simply explaining further to us the circumstances of the situation at that time. But the main part of the sentence, the construction of the sentence is, by faith Noah prepared. Here again, I suppose that there is not a boy or a girl in the audience tonight who is at least 4 or 5 years old, but who could tell us the story of Noah. Sometimes we sing about good old Noah built the ark like God told him to. In Genesis 5, back in those chapters there and the ones that follow, we find the story of Noah building the ark. And the one verse that just sticks out is, as God told him, Noah did. That's the summary of it. As God said, thus did Noah, according to all that God had said. We know that he took the gopher wood, went by the instructions that were given to him, and he got that ark ready to take into it the animals and his family that they might be protected from the destructive power of the flood. But notice the main part of that sentence. By faith, Noah prepared. Now look at verse 8. In this case, we're talking about Abraham. And again, if we look at the main construction of the sentence, not reading the phrase that is there, verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. And it probably would have been good if we'd added another word there. It says, and he went. We could have said obeyed and went, but the went is involved in the word obeyed, as this word describes all that Abraham did. Now again, we can tell the story of Abraham, and I suppose that all of us enjoy going back and reading about Abraham. How he was instructed to leave Ur of Chaldees, go into a land that he did not know, a place where he had not been, with which he was not familiar, and to there do what God asked him to do. A little later it's mentioned about his on Isaac and how he offered him on, or at least went to the point of drawing back the knife to offer him as a sacrifice according to the instruction that God had given. But notice the impact of this little simple statement. Here is what's said about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And embodied in that word is the entirety of the story that we've just mentioned, to which we've just referred. Now down in verses 24 and 25, by faith Moses, verse 24 begins, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The main construction of that verse is, by faith Moses refused and chose. Choosing there is in a different word form, but saying the same thing, and combining those ideas, the statement that is really made there is, by faith Moses made a choice. He made a choice that involved the negative and the positive. And usually every choice involves those two ideas. Moses made a choice where he refused to continue to live in Pharaoh's palace. He continued to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For some 40 years, majority of it at least, except the first few months of his life, or first little while of his life, he had lived in those circumstances. Pharaoh's daughter had taken him to be her own son. And again, all of us remember that story of Moses being placed in the little ark on the water and Pharaoh's daughter taking him, and after his mother had been his nurse and rearing him at least, and where he was able to go to Pharaoh's palace or Pharaoh's house, that he lived under those circumstances. But now he comes to a point in life where he has to make a choice. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter any longer, and he chose rather to take his stand with the people of God, which involved suffering, which involved being willing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So the statement that's really made is, by faith Moses chose. Now let me ask a question. What prompted these four men to do what they did in life? The Bible says that everything that was done by faith. Was Abel approved because of faith? Was Noah saved from the flood because of faith? Was Abraham approved of God and eventually come to the point of being a man that's referred to as the friend of God by faith? Did Moses take his stand by faith? The Bible states in all four of these cases that that's exactly what happened. And I'm sure that any person who would be discussing this would have to agree. Certainly, here are four examples of people who were involved with faith and who accomplished what they accomplished because of faith. And therefore, in that same sense, we are saved by faith. And we certainly have no argument with that approach. But look at the entirety of it. And here is what is missed, particularly by those who would take the approach that we're saved by faith only. Have you ever talked with anyone who said, there's nothing in the world that we have to do to be saved? I have articles in my files of those who claim to be preachers in some religious groups who have made statements like this, that there is nothing that a person can do good that will help his salvation, and nothing that he will do bad that will harm his possibility of salvation. It is all by the grace of God and faith on the part of man. And therefore, there's no deed, there's no action, there is nothing that has to do with one's salvation. We're saved by faith only. And it was Martin Luther, I suppose, who sort of wrote that into the margin of his Bible there in Romans 3, in his reaction against many of the things that were taking place in his day. But when there are those who say we are saved by faith only, come back and look at what we're saying here. Did Abel have to do anything in order to be approved of God? Were there any actions on his part? Did Noah have to do anything? Was there any need for action on his part? Why didn't Abel say, God, I have faith, and therefore I don't need to do anything? Or why didn't God say to Abel, I see you have faith, you don't need to offer anything. You have faith, that's all there is to it. What if Noah had said to God, God, you know I'm a faithful man. You know I have a heart filled with faith. I don't need to take any tools and any wood and build any ark. I'm just going to have faith in you, God, that you will save us from this flood. Suppose Abraham had said, I'm a man of faith, or God had said to Abraham, you're a man of faith. You just sit there and do nothing. I'll take care of all of it. That's not the case. On this side, as you look at these four, you see the attitude. You see the attitude of heart in their relationship to God. But over on this side, you see what is produced by the right attitude. And you'll notice that each one of these words is an action word. There is action involved with the subject of faith. There is action which is necessary for faith to be the saving faith as it is described in the Bible. Why, Abel offered. He put forth some action. He brought from the flock and offered to God according to the instruction that God had given. This statement here tells us that, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Noah was involved in action over a period of years, and no doubt in the face of ridicule. You can just imagine that people said, well, Noah, it's never rained and you're building a boat. But because he believed in God, he took action on the subject. And he prepared an ark where his family could be saved. Abraham is said to have done what he did by faith, but what did he do? He obeyed. He got up from where he was, and he began to move in the direction of where God told him to go. And when God said, take your son and offer him, he took that son, and he took the wood and the fire, what he needed. He took something that he needed in order to do what God had said. He began to take action. And when Moses came to the crossroads in his life and there had to be a decision made, he made that decision out of faith. But it was a decision that involved action, giving up that which he didn't need and taking his stand on the side of that where he needed to stand for what was right. Now, we could take the Bible tonight and notice verse after verse after verse that shows we're involved in these same things. For example, 1 Peter 2:5 talks about we are built up as lively stones and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. You and I at this very time in this service are offering to God a spiritual sacrifice. Our worship is going up to God. If our worship is right and acceptable, we're involved in an offering of our worship to God right now. Why are we doing that? Is it not by faith? This is the reason, and here is the result. As far as preparation is concerned, just think of the number of verses that you could quote or read that have to do with preparing, working to the end, enduring to the end, being faithful until death or unto death. Numbers of verses that we could think of. They talk about how this life is a period of preparation. What is it that prompts that? Faith. Why is it you and I prepare? Why is it we serve one another and serve our fellow men? It's because we have faith in God. And that we need to be a part of his work and do what he's told us to do in order to save ourselves from sin in the same sense that Noah saved himself from the flood. We're to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. Romans 6:17, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8 and 9, in the same book from which we started our lesson tonight in Hebrews 11. We are to obey. Why do we obey? That verse from the heart suggests that here is the reason and here is the result. By faith, that's the reason, because we believe in God and believe he means what he says. With his promises and also with what he's told will happen if we don't do what's right. Then because of our reason, our result is that we obey. And there's not a day that goes by that we don't face something like Moses did. A choice has to be made. You and I have had to make choices today. We'll have to make choices tomorrow. There'll be the side of good pulling. There'll be the side of evil pulling. And in the same sense that Moses came to a point and had to make a choice, you and I will come to a point and have to make a choice on a regular basis. Joshua emphasized this in Joshua 24. Choose ye this day. It's emphasized in John 3:16. Whosoever will. Revelation 22:17. Whosoever will. There's the idea of man's free choice involved in the matter. How is that choice going to be made? If we're going to make the right choice, it's got to be by faith. That faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. So on the subject of being saved by faith, by these four examples, we conclude that the right attitude will produce the right action, that the proper reason will bring about the desired results. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah prepared. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Moses chose. Now, folks, that's just as simple as it can be, but it's the very foundation and framework of Christianity. Faith is the foundation. Our faith in Jesus Christ is really the foundation on which everything must be built. And we ought not do anything except by faith. I think perhaps Galatians 5:6 sums it up. In the latter part of that verse, it talks about a faith that works by love. A faith that works by love. And you could plug that into each of these four examples that we've given tonight. Faith is the attitude that produces the right action. Faith is the reason that will bring about the desired results. And you might notice also that in the same chapter there in Hebrews 11, verse 6, through faith, he says, or without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, not only the historical faith that God exists, but he is a rewarder of them who diligently act upon their faith and find results. Now, you and I can apply this in everyday life. As we offer to God in worship and service, as we prepare in this life for the life that is to come, as we are obedient, actively obedient to God and his commandments, and as we make the choice each day to try to take our stand on the right side, all of this is done by faith. And we are saved by faith. Tonight we encourage you to have faith in this book. And in the same sense that God said, Abraham, come out of the place where you are and go into a place where I want you to be, we would encourage those of you that are not Christians to come out of alien sin and through obedience go into the place where God wants you to be. And if you've been astray and have not been serving him as you should, and you've been saying that you have faith but have not been acting that way, maybe you need to come back and be restored to the Lord tonight. If either is your need, we encourage you to act on faith, but to act as together we stand and sing.
God one, please.